Well, good morning, everyone. It's nice to see you. I wanted to remind you to make your plans to be here Wednesday night and for the next few Wednesday nights. We're going to go over God Speaks Today. And it's the ladies have been going through their Wednesday night in a it's a method of evangelism. And evangelism, it'll come up today in class or in our lesson today. But the God Speaks Today is a way you can teach somebody very easily. It's four different lessons. It's like the Jewel Miller film strips. You just beep and turn the slide. And this is pretty much just beep and turn the page. And it's very easy to use, very effective, and it helps you have a tool. And I want us to understand we can have tools to use to evangelize the world. Or if not the world, at least maybe a friend or two. Second, I was riding to church, or riding to work Friday, and on the radio it said, yeah, we're going to have a wonderful parade and we're going to be covering it. I was like, a parade in Birmingham. I wonder what they're going to be having. I'm riding down the road. You know, Birmingham has one of the largest Veterans Day parades, I think, in the country. I mean, big. I forget stuff like that. In fact, I didn't remember today was actually Veterans Day until RW stepped up and said, hey, happy Veterans Day, because I'm a veteran. Do we have any other veterans? You don't have to stand. As a veteran, let me say, I don't like standing up either. But do we have any? Are you a veteran? Raise your hand. There's a few. And I think there's at least one standing outside in the wind right now, right? We have the freedoms we enjoy because of people who put their life on the line. And we need to remember that. Because there's places in the world where people have to put their life on the line for a system of government they do not support. And we have been blessed. God has blessed us to live in a country that we can have a system that we support. And God has blessed us with people who have decided to give a part of their life for the service of this country. And I respect that. A lot of times I don't like standing up or talking about it because I was in the service in a time of peace. I never had to put my life on the line. So there's a lot of respect for people who actually have done it. So if you've been out there in the world, I respect it a lot. I am a visual learner. Lesson starts here. I am a visual learner, okay? When I was going through nursing school, a lot of the things, especially biology, I like the natural sciences and biology, and they have to learn all these crazy things, how things work and pathways, and it makes your head hurt, right? One of the things that I do well is if I draw something, I can remember it for a long time. The human cell, okay, I'm telling you about something I used to draw. The human cell is composed of an outer wall, and then it's got all this nifty little stuff inside of it. And the wall is called a hydrophilic layer, and it's got one side that likes water, one side that doesn't. And it's two pieces that come together. It's like sheetrock on these walls. There's sheetrock on either side, and then a support in the center. Well, your cells work the same. God is an amazing architect. So let me throw that out there for you, right? The way your cell is designed, it's phenomenal. You've actually got this little thing, a sodium potassium pump, and you need potassium and in and out of the sodium in and out so that you have a potential along your neurons so that you can actually do this. Ooh, right? Like yesterday, there was a lot of ooh going on, right? You have to have stuff inside the cell so the cell works. And each cell has to work for us as a whole to work. It's simply amazing. When you start looking at just the smallest unit of life in us, the one cell. Hold on to that for just a minute. I was reading a book about Christian history. And this guy started from the very beginning, and the first book went up to the Reformation, and then the second book went from the Reformation to present day. And he did all this stuff, and he was talking about how it all worked together. And he finally gets down to the end, and he says this: Christianity, like most living organisms, grows and relates to its environment at the edges, while the edges nurture the center and keep it alive. That's your cells, right? I mean, that's the way your cell works. Your cell interacts with its environment from the edge. And he says, you know, the church, the Christianity is like a cell because it's the edge that interacts with the world. And you know, and for me, the who I am, this is like, wow, this a light bulb went off in my head because this is, I was like, that's just the way a cell works, right? And I was like, this is really cool. So I started thinking about that. And one of the things I thought about, that the way that the church works, the way our church works, I mean the church, right? The way the church works is kind of like the way that cell works. You know, it makes the edges of our lives make a difference. The edges of our lives and who we are in our lives, it's the most important part of our life. Because when you start thinking about it, it's the part that comes into contact with other people, correct? I mean, as I'm walking around, I actually stick out my hand and say, hi, how am I doing? I'm a Scott Crawford, and I'm glad to have you here. And it's, that's the part that's actually interacting with the world. Now, the church does the same thing as a group. And we typically think about how we interact in the world in three different ways. It's the traditional three ways of thinking about the church. Interacting. One, of course, is benevolence. And benevolence is reaching out. We have a food pantry. I know it doesn't get used as much as it used to. When we don't keep somebody here in the building constantly all the time like that used to be. So our food pantry, we don't end up interacting with as many people as we used to. But on Sunday, haven't you seen people come up occasionally on Sundays? Knock on the door, I'm stuck last week. I mean, it was kind of providential that the young lady who was with us last week, her car actually died right across the street. And she was a Church of Christ person from Florida. And she came over and knocked on our door. And we stopped, and as the church, and as an individuals, helped this lady. Extended our love, our helpfulness to her. And this is one of the things we do as a church. In Galatians 6, 9 and 10 it says, and let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially those who are in the household of faith. Now, at this point, Paul is writing to the Galatians. And he's writing to a group of Christians. So this certainly applies to a group of Christians. And he says, while you are busy doing the good stuff, don't lose heart. Because we are supposed to do good stuff. Remember what Jesus said? You're a light set on a hill. No one who starts a light puts it under a bushel. He said, let your light so shine before men that they might glorify your Father who is in heaven. We are supposed to do good works. We are supposed to be out there as the church doing things that impacts our community. And I believe we do. I mean, I think right about now I have been here almost a little over a year. We've given away clothes. We've been a stop for bicycles. We've done trunk or treat. Twice, I was Incredibles last time, right? And Superman this time. It's a theme. You get it, right? And we reached out to the people in this community. Why? It's your job to reach out to the community people. No. It's not our job to reach out to the people in this community. It's our privilege to reach out to the people in this community. We have the ability, so let us use that ability. And that's part of the work of the church. To be able to stand back and help. Now, sometimes I agree that help gets truncated with our society works in such a way as a lot of, remember what's true and pure religion is this, to help the widows and the orphans? And a lot of times that gets taken care of through our society, but it doesn't relieve us of that responsibility. If we have people to help, we certainly should. Certainly should as a group. Now, not only benevolence, but we also think about edification. Take your Bible and turn it over to Ephesians real quick. Ephesians 4, 1 through 13. I'm sorry, not 1 through, 11 through 13. That'd be a lot, wouldn't it? Ephesians 4, 11 through 13. And he himself gave some to be apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. 1, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature, the fullness of Christ. So why are some of us teachers? Why are some of us preachers? Why are some of us people who can be administrators? Why are some people the people who can stand up front and sing and talk, and some people are not the people who can stand up front, but they're the people who can stand in the back and do something back there? All of it works together so that we are edifying ourselves as we come together as church. Here we are as the church edifying one another by our specific talents. I mean, I don't necessarily want to call names because people get, you know, a little embarrassed when you start calling names, right? But everybody in here touches each other somehow, edifying one another. Smiles, handshakes, hugs. I heard you were going through a difficult time. Let's say a prayer. Let's have prayers for one another. And when we do that, we are edifying one another. We are being strengthened in one another. When you go over to 1 Corinthians 14, and the Corinthians got all these problems with their worship service. All kind of problems. Paul makes it clear that one of the reasons they are coming together is to edify one another, to build one another up. In fact, when you go over there, he says about speaking in tongues, you know, if you're speaking in a tongue and nobody can interpret, you're not edifying someone. Shh, sit down. But he says we edify one another and encourage one another to build one another up. When we were at the men's retreat a couple of weekends ago, we talked a little bit about Hebrews 10:25. Now typically we look to that verse and we say, see, it says, do not forsake the assembling of the saints. That means you need to be in church. Well, yes, it does. But the why behind the reason you're in church, part of that why is so that we can encourage one another. And that word encourage means to stand alongside. You can't encourage someone. You can't edify someone if you're not with them. I draw edification and encouragement every time I'm here from y'all. And you should do it from me. Because we are one body in Christ. So we've got what? A benevolence, edification, and what's the third that's typically we think of? Evangelism, which is right. Why we're doing this. This is why the ladies went through their class about the, and they used two Bibles, right? And they made the Bibles and they worked them so they could use them as a tool. But Matthew 28:18-20, right? The Great Commission. And Jesus says unto them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even the end of the age. Amen. It's the marching orders of the church. Here we are as the church. A lot of congregations I know of, they sit down and they think we need to come up with a purpose statement. We need to come up with a reason why we're here, right? And they come up with this wonderful thing. We are here to be an encouragement to people. We are here to reach out to our community and we are here to be an edification. We are here to help one another. You know what we're here for? Go ye therefore and make disciples. What did Jesus say? Unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it cannot produce more wheat. You may never produce great, huge numbers, but I guarantee you, you are an evangelist. You are out there evangelizing someone. And as the church, this congregation in this building right now, people see us. And we are giving them an evangel, and we are an evangelistic tool for God. Now we think about all these things as they relate to the church and to everybody, right? And the edges. They can each relate to you individually also. You individually can be benevolent. You can. Sometimes you might not want to, but you can. You individually can edify people. You might not think you are, but maybe it's just you saying hi and smiling that gives people a little bit of encouragement and edify them and build them up. You individually can be an evangelist. And of course you are. So not only does the edge of the church touch the world in such a way, we individuals touch the world in such a way that we are in a living organism for Christ. Okay? Now, for the analogy to hold, because we talked about how the edge touches the world. The other part of what this guy said, right, was that the edge has something to do with the center. And your cells in your body, if the edge didn't work correctly, if the edge doesn't work correctly, the center will not work correctly either. If there's a problem at the edge of your cell, the inside of the cell is going to die. That's just the way it works. Because you have to get nutrients in the cell. The inside of the cell has to expel waste. All kind of different stuff. Because if the edge is not healthy, the inside is also not healthy. And we have to understand that it's our interaction at the edge also makes us strong on the inside. Think about it for a second when we're benevolent to other people. When we as the church or we as the individual are benevolent to other people. Stop for a second and consider Acts 20:35. And it says there, I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now don't get me wrong. Who doesn't like to get stuff, right? Who doesn't like to see a big old pile of presents and know that they're for them? I love it. But I've watched my parents light up with joy as my kids or my brother's kids or my sister's kids open those presents. Why? Because it's the joy that you see in other people that makes you happy. When we are able to do something good for people, even when we say, I don't want the recognition, I don't need the recognition, it still builds us up inside somehow. It still makes us stronger somehow to be able to reach out and help. Charles talks about going to Jamaica. I like going to Belize. You know what? One of the things, and when I took Candace 1 year to Belize, and David 1 year to Belize. You know what amazed them the most? That these people have practically nothing and yet they're still happy. And that they came away with an idea of, I was helpful to these people. We didn't put them in a big house. We didn't give them loads of money. We didn't give them a lot of stuff. But we were able to be there and be an encouragement to help them to do something. And they came away stronger. When I go to Belize, I come away stronger because I know I'm being helpful to them. Even when we build up other people, we grow. We grow stronger. When we build up other people, we in turn grow stronger. In Ephesians 4:16 it says, from whom the whole body joined together and knit together. From whom the whole body joined and knit together by what the joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth to the body and for the edifying thereof. When we can be edifying to people, it makes us feel good, just like when we can be benevolent. And it makes us stronger as a whole. It creates something that is strengthened within us. The whole idea of edification comes from a word that means edifice. Means building up. It means making a building. We build upon ourselves when we are helping other people. Long time ago, they used to, what it used to be, turn that frown upside down. You know? Mm-hmm. I remember one of my psychology teachers telling us, you know, sometimes if you act happy, you'll start to feel happy. You might not be the happiest person in the world. You might not be the most personable person in the world. But people will think a lot more of you if you practice being a little more personable. If you practice being a little more nicer. People think a lot of you. And that will make you feel good on the inside. Even down to the point when we save others, we also save ourselves. And that's a hard one to think about. But we do. Go over to James 5. James 5:20 says, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. Now, we don't necessarily like to think about it's a works-based salvation, because it's not. God gives us our salvation. But we do participate in that salvation. We are part of the salvation that we have. And when we go out there and we do our best to help some other people, it can't hurt, right? To have a little bit of credit on my side, even though that's not the way we're supposed to think. When we are part of bringing someone to Christ, that also strengthens us and builds us up on the inside, makes us stronger. There's always a bottom line. Most of the time, I always try to come up with a bottom line. And here's the bottom line. And it's the last thing that's written on your little piece of paper if you're following along. You ready? Intentional Christianity reflects the cross. That'd make a great button, wouldn't it? A wonderful bumper sticker. Intentional Christianity reflects the cross. When Jesus went to the cross, he wasn't thinking about himself, he was thinking about us. When we stop and we help some other people, we are reflecting the love that came from the cross. Intentional Christianity reflects the cross. When we stop and we try to do something good, when we try to reach out, when we try to help people by a little bit of sacrifice of ourselves, what are we doing? We're reflecting the Son of Man who came to earth, gave himself for our salvation. Isn't that wonderful? If you don't get anything else from this lesson today, get that. Intentional Christianity reflects the cross. All the benevolence, all the edification, all the evangelizing we do, right? All of it reflects the cross. All of it reflects the Master. And if you haven't given your life over to the Master yet, you need to. I know you believe because you're sitting here. I know you're hearing it because I'm speaking it. I can see you going like this sometimes. Well, right? Are you ready to repent? To put it behind you? Are you ready to start moving forward in your life? Are you ready to confess Jesus Christ? Are you ready to say, yes, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? Right? Are you ready to go into the waters of baptism? Because it's clearly pointed out that we're supposed to be baptized. For the remission of our sins. That's why we're baptized. Are you ready to start walking the life of a Christian? Are you ready to start listening to Christ speak to you? You can hear Him every day right here. If there's anything we can do for you, anything we can help you with, any way we can make it work better for you, please let us know as we stand and sing this song.
Have thy affections been nailed to the cross? Is thy heart right with God? Dost thou count all things for Jesus but loss? Is thy heart right with God? Is thy